I have
Horrible.
this, see this thing that what causes plaque psoriasis? Like, oh, I have dryness behind my ears. I don't have that though. So that just freaked me out for about 10 seconds.
Disgusting.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, we're here in the Amazon. I can't help but notice, who is that man? Is he researching spiders with your mother in the Amazon over there? Is that what he's doing?
You know it. You know it. And this ain't no arachnophobia, folks. He's not dying in a sleeping bag. He's gaining superpowers.
Why you
But
gotta
enough
bring it up?
about
Why you
that
gotta bring it up? That's
guy.
it's the thing that it's kept me awake in every camp setting that I've been in throughout my childhood.
You know, we're connected by that web of deceit, of always checking your sleeping bag for speedies.
Actually, the scariest spider story somebody told me that I think about all the time is that, like, my uncle used to not kill spiders, he would just flush them down the sink, and then one day they were just sitting there, and then all of the spiders all at once came back out from the sink and crawled up into the house. And
I wish that was a true story.
I can't help but think that that's what's gonna happen to me. You know, we're not a spider killing household out here, but we let them go out into the wild, and then we just saw a TikTok that said every spider that you catch and release in out of your house just dies two hours later. So.
There's no hope for them. I'm sorry. Like, you're being nice for no reason. There is no hope for them in the natural and unnatural world.
You know, it still feels a little bit better.
They stumble across my house, they're meeting the wall in a high impact fashion. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, they connect the
Meanwhile,
web. They connect the web, and your hand connects with them, and then they splat. Yep, that's how it goes.
there's two hits happening. One hit is the 2003 classic Britney Spears Toxic. The second is that spider getting squashed.
We're here to talk about what some people would call a watershed moment in film, at least in superhero films, the beginning of a new era. Some saw it coming, others people didn't. I don't think the people in the movie who saw it coming, if that makes any sense, because we're going to talk about all of it, everything, the what makes sense to what doesn't make sense.
This is a classic tale of the most unexpected expected thing happening. So
And we're
we're
doing so because we
diving in.
are a Real Rotten the podcast, the definitive podcast for movies underneath 25% on Rotten Tomatoes, the biggest fan of the bottom fourth you can find. And I'm Nick. That is Steven, Mr. Webb, Ramirez, your cobweb guy hasn't moved in ages. He's been
The
just
other
sitting
sea
there
web.
waiting. C Webb. Chris Weber is joining us soon, but not just Chris Weber. He's actually not joining us. We actually have a more important guest. We're devoting a whole month to this guest. Can we please play the music? You've heard of March Madness, folks, but we're here to tell you about a new one. This year, we are doing March Mikeness. So please welcome back to the podcast our dear friend. Been a minute since we've last seen him. Mike, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for finding the time for us.
Gentlemen, I am glad to be back. It's been far too long. I can only think of one question here, which is as a loyal listener of the pod, is this movie too bad for Kyle?
We would love to get Kyle's opinion on that, but we're saving that for the fresh episode because I'm sure it's in his Best Picture nominations.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin Kyle's hot take, which I'm sure is actually a
He thinks that this movie is underrated. Underrated is my guess. If I had to guess
ahead.
the year that Kyle is going to see this movie, I would say 2027, 2028. When do you
That's
think he's
early.
going to get around to it?
I'm going to hit the over on that. He's definitely not waiting until the 2030s, and he's going to get an addled preteen Celine asking him to watch this film
Yeah, I think
for the.
he's actually going to wait until the TV show for this is about to come out. And he's like, I got to catch up for this TV show that's going to air because, you know, he's TV Kyle now. He's Kyle the TV
Right.
man, does what he does best, watches 9 feature-length movies, but all in a row as episodes, you know.
Yes.
So.
On the on cable. He doesn't even stream anymore. He's reverted back to cable, watching things on FX and waiting for those 5-minute
Oh,
breaks.
that does bring us to some Kyle breaking news. Steven, can you give me some breaking news music? This is
Yeah, give
a
me
strictly Kyle breaking news music, though.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You got me under the gun now.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Nick to the facts.
Okay, I guess that works. Kyle no longer on Netflix. Kyle ditched
Yeah.
Netflix. So
Hook up with the
that's
flicks.
the end of Kyle's breaking news.
Yeah, that's
Was
it.
he, did he get himself off or was he forced off from,
Look, he gets himself off all the time, but I
her?
think it was forced off when the password changed. So that's neither here nor there. You're sick man, Mike, and we appreciate it.
Mike, welcome back to the podcast. You are known for you and your loved ones. You guys watch all of the franchise. You watch your franchise folk. You
This
watch
is true.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however far they go up to. You haven't gotten to Land Before Time yet, because I heard there's 17 of those.
That's true.
But what is the last franchise you guys knocked out? I just
We're
want
in
an update.
the tail end right now of Rocky.
Wow.
Wow. Does
We're
that include
on,
Creed?
yes.
Oh,
So
wow.
of the nine, we're going on, we're doing one a week,
Okay.
which I highly suggest as someone who's seen the Creeds once, the Rockies many times. It is significantly wackier if you watch them in Kyle TV fashion, one a week,
Yes.
minute as an episode. It's much more bonkers.
Yeah, it man, people are very nostalgic about 4, 3 and 4 specifically, but 4 for some reason, 4 is
The
not a
man
great
stopped
movie.
communism.
Yeah. We just
That's
gotta join together like brothers.
chopping some wood. Adrian chopping wood. She didn't go with him, you know, after Russia.
That is the best montage,
A
though,
bit of
in
the
Rocky
that's
IV.
true. It is the best montage. It is the most ridiculous movie. We got through the first. I tried to push some of the Rocky onto my loved one, and she
It
said,
does feel very propaganda heavy as
"Yeah,
a franchise.
right."
Yeah,
I
the
mean, it leaned very much to the right after the first one. The first one is just a general story, but they're
Yeah.
like, "Oh, let's make this guy the American dream."
Yeah, Jesse was very impressed that they made a movie about a mentally challenged person who's able to accomplish as much as he accomplishes
Yes.
throughout the first film.
It's
And
a tale of two Forrest Gumps is the first Rocky. That's really what it is. Two Forrest Gumps
oh,
falling in love. One just happens to box.
actually really good.
biggest thing I will come away from, still with two movies to go. In a world of continuity errors and mishaps, especially as we're talking about a certain movie here today, in Rocky One, this man buys baby turtles from Adrian's pet store. They are in Creed One, in the fish tank.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he shows him the turtles. What are their
Amazing.
names again?
Something.
They're like some cinematic name, I feel
I can't remember.
like Abbott and Costello or something.
There's the part where he's like, "I like turtles," you know.
Yes,
We
that is
needed
where
that
that
sound drop,
kid,
damn it.
that's where the meme came from. That kid was
Yeah.
just doing a Rocky impression.
Yep. Man, golden. Golden Balboa impression.
Movie news, we got Oscars coming up this weekend. This is being recorded before the Oscars, but will drop after them. What's your one prediction? One prediction, Steven, you go first. Something that will happen.
the national anthem will go under 90 seconds. I have $1,000 to make sure that that happens.
Yeah, I'm gonna predict one spit take. One spit. Somebody is going to spit in some way or another on the broadcast. Yes.
Like on the red carpet, like are they like that's what they did earlier this year, right? During the Golden Globe, someone snuck in like a champagne bottle and people were taking hits off it on the red carpet.
Wow.
I remember seeing something like that.
I mean, like that would vastly improve the Oscars. So maybe that should happen.
Because you can't drink in the theater. Like you have to get your sit in to go and get a little dutruts at the Oscars.
Yeah, my backup is Jimmy Kimmel. At one point, will go like, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's gonna make a crass joke and then
like
he's
a take.
Like,
yeah, he'll fake take offense to it. Yeah, that's my only other one.
Yes, Mike.
Mike,
what
do you have
got?
One prediction.
One camera holds the entire broadcast on picture in picture style on Paul Giamatti.
Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah. I like
full length reaction shot.
Like it should be a segment. Like they're making a mistake by not having it a segment. But if it was actually the entire cast, you could have the Giamatti cast. I would sit and watch that.
They should put the ESPN2 just as the Giamatti cast.
Yeah, exactly. See,
you watch it all from his perspective, but it's as his character in the holdover with one wonky eye. So you see, like, so one camera points one way and the other points a different way.
What Oscar snubbers would be the commentators? Like, I would think it'd have to be like Margot Robbie and the lead from the Zone of Interest. But that's just my personal preference.
No, I think you just give this to Ben Affleck. Just have him do like his Armageddon director's commentary over the Oscars as they're happening, where he can, and he knows, and tell him nobody's going to hear this, but pay him like $3 million and then he'll just talk shit about like every single person in the room.
Invite him to like a random Dunkin' Donuts at 8 a.m. and just make him stay there and just put a mic on him.
Yeah, he was like, I was the Nike guy. Nobody has any respect for me, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. Matt and Ben talk shop. There you go.
Yeah.
We had it, man.
Well, we're here to talk about next year's Oscars today.
2025.
Madam Webb is going to work his way in there and
just missed the cutoff
for this year. So looking forward to talking about this movie again as the next year come around. So this is your little prep. Let's get a little taste of the movie.
There, one and only Madame Webb.
I can see the future. Ezekiel Sims, he's got these crazy powers.
I'm more interested in why he's trying to kill us.
In the future, those girls are going to destroy me.
If you want to live, you have to trust me.
Madam Web, coming soon, exclusively in cinemas.
You're telling me.
Exclusively in cinemas. Yeah, that's how we saw this. Me and Stephen went to the drive-in, popped on the car to make sure the battery,
put it on accessory mode.
May or may not have died. Yeah, hopefully it lasts longer than we want. It had trouble turning on the other day, and I was like, oh, shit, did Madam Web kill my car battery?
Wow. Did Ezekiel Sims drain your battery?
Not Ezekiel.
I will not have your battery.
My mouth isn't lining up with my ADR. So,
well,
Mike, how did you see this movie?
No, I want you to finish first. Yeah, the viewing experience, were there a bunch of humans there? Was no one there?
The quintessential drive-in moment for us was there was about four cars there. Yeah. Two of the cars left within the first 20 minutes of the film.
No way. Were they extreme? Were they muscle cars that had to make a scene as they exited?
I wanted it to be, but one was probably one of the Toyota Corolla crossovers.
Yeah.
It was very very Nissan Juke-like. They juked us out.
Yeah.
The other was an ambulance that crashed through the screen on a Toyota. Yeah.
Nissan Al-Gaib. We'll get to that. But one car left our showing and went to the screen across the way, because they always showed two movies at once. They left Madam Web to make sure they caught what had to have been like the last hour of Bob Marley One Love. So
yeah,
they made their decision and they lived with it. We thought it was a good experience, except the screen is almost comically small at
It's crazy. It's crazy how tiny it is. Think of the billboard on the side of the freeway.
Some cars were so far away that we were like, this is unbelievable.
Like, I couldn't imagine watching, like, being in the 70s, watching Star Wars and being in the back row and being like, this is awesome. This is great. Like, I really feel like the Sacramento screens are bigger, but, you know, I guess we'll never know.
Yep. Well, shout out to our local drive-in. We had a good
shout
time
out to the,
regardless.
Shout out to the WWD. Yeah. Love it. Love the West Wind. But
assuming,
yeah.
Assuming you saw it A-list style, Dolby.
No, I went to the Grand Lake Theater in Oakland.
Oh, wow. What screen was it on?
There were several people there. Okay. The upstairs.
Okay.
Which
so
is
not
underrated. The downstairs is great.
That's the
downstairs
best one.
Yeah, upstairs is great. Yeah.
There was, you know, a handful of people there. It was one of those storm days. So you got to hear rain from one of the doors that seems like it's open half the time.
Yeah.
But there was at least one person, an older gentleman, who had, from the get-go, had genuine laughs at some of the, what I guess are legally jokes early on in the film. And so we were excited that, like, he is here for it. He's here on purpose. We came to see a very different movie than he did.
Was it? I have two questions. Was it Robert De Niro from Cape Fear, and was he smoking a cigar? Because that would have been me if I saw this in an actual theater and not in a drive-in.
No, I cannot verify that.
Damn.
Well, we can include that guy. I'm sure he was in the 57% of audience that approved this movie. Wow. Positive over 50% rating. So that's good to see for Madam Web.
However, that's not what the critics said.
12% from the critics. Probably one of the lowest, highest reviewed movies in years, I'm assuming.
this almost beat out the reviews total for the Fantastic Four remake. So that's right there.
Yes.
It's a very 1-2, but that movie fell off the face of the earth. Yeah, very very much a future contender. I'm gonna have to do that in a couple years.
Man, I can't wait for that.
I forgot to look it up myself, but I think this is gonna be a theme, at least for me, throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this score compare to Morbius?
This is lower because Morbius is like 20 something, right?
Okay.
No. Morbius is 15. 15.
They gotta be competitive. Oh, yes. Okay.
Well, yeah, it's still lower. Yeah.
Competitive. We'll get to the Morbius versus Madam Web later on in the quick section of the podcast. But for now, we're gonna do our blurbs. The Rod Turner's blurb, Madam Web's earnest approach to the title character's origin story has a certain appeal, but its predictable plot and uneven execution make for a forgettable superhero adventure.
Steven,
would you like to read the audience blurb? I love when we get an audience blurb. We don't know the rules about the audience blurb, if they let one person write it or if there has to be a big discrepancy. Like, does
if
the movie
we were...
have to be so bad and then... Actually, I'm going to look up a movie that recently had bad audience but good critic. And so you can read the blurb while I do that.
Yes, because if we were a technologically advanced podcast, we would definitely generate an AI voice to do the audience blurb, because that's what they do. They just generate AI text to make the audience blurb happen based off of people's insane comments about this movie. Blurb states, Madam Web is a groundbreaking superhero movie, but it does a decent job of telling an entertaining origin story. Very debatable on that tail end. I agree with the first part of that statement, not the second part. Not
okay,
entertaining origin story. What origin?
Okay,
What's the origin?
I looked up True Detective Night Country, which has a 56% audience, but a 92% critic, and it turns out they don't do an audience for the other way around. They
but
only
that,
do it when the audience
it's
likes
getting
it.
Bombed. No, that's getting negged by the far right. That's the only reason why.
By Nick Pizzolatto's boys?
Yeah, the Pizzolatto boys, the Pizzolatto proud boys.
Oh, it's the Pizzolatto boys. They're walking over there with the gabagool.
The gabagool Andy. But yeah, that's the only reason why that audience discrepancy is present. Nick, what's your bleb?
I almost admire the sheer lack of effort on display in the acting, storytelling, and set pieces. To say that Johnson is in particular phoned this performance in would be an insult to Alexander Graham Bell.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you, David Sims, of the two friends of Blank Check with Griffin and David. If you haven't listened to it, you should. It's a good podcast. He didn't like it.
David Sims didn't like it. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? He likes a lot of, he's known to have a good time in the movie theater, so it tells me a lot.
Yeah. Well, he had to write for The Atlantic, so he had to be quite serious, apparently. Speaking of Grahams, Adam Graham of Detroit News stated, experiences this lousy should be at least fun, but Madam Web is so comically bad, he can't even manage to get being bad right. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear. It's a bad movie, but it doesn't really have any redeeming qualities for it being a bad movie. It's not campy. It's long. No stakes, really, because we don't know. It's stupid. Whatever. Mike, what's your blurb?
We got compliments of Sam Cam? Cam Siesky of the Chicago Reader.
Oh.
Sony and Marvel's latest entry in their shared cinematic universe has no better comparison than that of a rickety wooden coaster you'd find at a family-owned amusement park, brutal on the body and precariously constructed.
Man.
Wow.
Makes me want to watch Action Park and Action Point, future contender.
Okay.
This is the Action Park of this era superhero movies.
Sony Pictures, when they open up their own Universal Studios type lot, it's just going to be all of their weird knockoff rides.
Yeah, the Venom area is just some snakes in a pit.
Yeah, or they're like, get on this motorcycle. You don't get strapped in or anything, and then you like jump over stuff.
The Morbius ride is just people giving blood.
I think there's a lot to that.
There's something there. There's something there. It's like Euro Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Who's our notable critic, Steven?
Notable critic, obviously Roger's dead, so we got a Roper on in with Richard Roper.
Not very subtle.
Who cares? He was dead. RIP to a legend. It gives me no pleasure to report this because we could use some fresh and original superhero adaptations on the big screen these days. But the Dakota Johnson starring Madam Web is one of the worst comic book movies I've ever seen. I feel like Richard Roper and Tucker Carlson speak similarly. So every time I see Roper, I'm just going to talk like Tucker.
Yeah, I think that's actually not a bad idea. Roper, not to start creating a rivalry on the podcast, but Mick LaSalle, the local critic, our guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You blow my mind. It's Mick LaSalle. He said, for much of Madam Web, even when it turns bad, it's a pleasure to see Johnson in this kind of movie.
Wow. Compared to what?
There's a lot of women in this movie. How much Johnson is he seeing? Am I right? I don't know. He just wanted to see Dakota Johnson in a. He gave it a positive review, 2.5 out of 4. So
did he want to see Johnson in a superhero movie or just a movie?
I think it's in this kind of movie. Maybe a bad movie. Maybe he just wanted to see.
Name a recent movie with Dakota Johnson. Oh wait,
they're mostly bad. She's in a movie called Daddy-O that is coming out.
Not a cinematic feature. Moving on. Oh boy. Well, let's get factual. We need some factual healing. That's my segment. So cue that music. Director of this movie, S.J. Clarkson. What is this person, S.J. Clarkson, famous for? I believe it's a female.
She is a TV director.
TV director. Did a lot of TV.
Did a lot of TV. Television. Most notably, the Game of Thrones that didn't happen.
Oh, she did the pilot.
Yeah, the pilot of the one that didn't happen.
That costs like $400 million.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is the first film, correct? Feature film?
Her first feature film, I think.
Okay. First speech. Yes.
Her doing the pilot for the Game of Thrones and then being paid for it to not come out is like the equivalent of getting a college football head coaching job where they pay you like $600 million. And then after the first season, they're like, you know what? Take the rest of the 4 years off. we'll just pay you. My dream job. Get fired and then paid millions of dollars.
And she also gets some writing points here because she's one of the writers along with Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless, which I can't believe is a real name, and Claire Parker. Burke Sharpless has credits, by the way, and I didn't look them up because...
Do you think that's a pseudonym or a word jumble of their actual name?
It's probably, it's probably Brooke. Name it. Sharpmore? Brooke Sharpmore? I don't know. It's like Michael T. Williams stand up, but it's supposed to, but it looks like it's McKelty. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Hate to tell you this, Steven. Daddy-O, 83% so far on
what 12, was the release
on 12 reviews.
Tell me the release. What platform? Fucking Tubi?
We'll have to get to that later.
Quibi?
nobody's quite sure.
All right. Notable crew. The only person that I could find, well, we talked about Matt Sazama, Burke Sharpless, Claire Parker. They have any writing credits? They have something. I don't know what exactly it is. While we look into that, notable crew I'm calling out is Victoria Thomas, who is a renowned casting director, the casting director for this film, but also for the Watchmen TV show, The Last of Us TV show, Django Unchained, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and a slew of other pretty good films.
No complaints on the casting of those movies.
No, I mean, the worst thing I got to call out for Victoria is casting this Tahar guy, but that's it. But other than that, I guess I have no notes.
Is this the first movie since we've started doing Is There an Oscar that there's no Oscar winner in this movie?
I didn't see one. Yeah. I couldn't find one.
I haven't been able to find one either. I haven't even seen a nominated for.
Yeah. Not even The Grip.
We got a primetime Emmy, though, from the casting director. So
that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
No, it's a prime. You didn't hear me. I said primetime Emmy, you know, so the big one.
Still not movies. This ain't the biggest podcast in movies.
Have any of them attended the Oscars on this list?
Oh, I'm sure Victoria Thomas did. Maybe the cinematog, but that guy's not that famous. Actors. We mentioned the DJ, Dakota Johnson, as C Webb, not part of the Fab Five. Sydney Sweeney is Julia. Celeste O'Connor, Maddie Franklin, Isabella Merced playing Anya Corazon. Adam Scott played Ben Parker. And then Emma Roberts as Mary Parker. Tahar Rahim, we alluded to him as Ezekiel Sims. And then randomly Mike Epps is in it as O'Neill. That's about it.
Did we ever find out if O'Neill's his first or his last name?
It doesn't matter. Maybe it's like Prince.
I think it's just the brand he wore.
Yeah, that's his brand. He's big into surf. Big into surf culture.
Bring back Billabong.
Billabong release date. Romance is in the air because this film weirdly released on a Wednesday of this year, but it was Valentine's Day.
I got good news, Steven. I did what our esteemed producers have never been able to do. I did the research and I went back and I found us an Oscar winner.
Oh, you did?
Yes. The costume designer.
Oh,
NGILA is her first name. Her last name is Dixon.
I think it's Gila Dixon.
Gila Dixon. Or she Neela, won best costume design for Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Wow, that's incredible.
There we Good go. For we, that we do we do have an Oscar winner. We do have an Oscar winner. So wow. we can continue this podcast.
Those costumes weren't bad for all 45 seconds we saw them.
Yeah. The
Even Sims's outfit was tolerable.
I liked all of their EMT outfits too.
Mm,
a lot of good ones.
Very, very, very on the money.
You don't have to see the movie. If you want to see these costumes, watch the trailer again.
That's all you need. I don't know. I got a bone to pick with the costume designer for one thing. We'll talk about it later. Rated PG-13 runtime for this movie, an abysmal 116 minutes. Unreal. This movie was definitely 45 minutes too long.
It was only 116? I thought it was over 2 hours.
It was just under two. Yeah. But it's an hour 54, which is hour 56. That's crazy.
Okay. So that's not a good sign. Yeah.
Not a great sign.
That it felt like it was over 2 hours. That's just what it was.
Exactly. Block keywords. We got real winners here. Marvel Comics, based on comic, based on comic book. Sony Spider-Verse. Superhero. I thought the last plot keyword was spider hero for the longest time, but it was superhero, which I would have liked more than a superhero, but that's just me.
Tagline.
Her web connects them all.
Good tagline. Not great.
Not great.
But
because she doesn't have a web. What's her web? Her mind?
It's actually a good point. Her mind web.
Her social networking skills.
Doesn't she say, I looked it up on the web when she,
yes.
When she looks in her mind brain.
Yeah. 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 When she looked in her mind brain.
Pretty sure at one point she says, after looking in her mind brain, she says, I saw it on the web.
Are we making a new tagline?
We'll make a new tagline. Hit the music. Okay, so we need something that's spider themed.
We need spider themes. We need, should be, we should need be feminist lady, forward. Should
be ladylike, yeah, exactly. Yes.
And we need an understanding that they're a cadre that haven't been assembled yet.
Yeah.
Or
we should probably note that it also takes place in 2003.
Maybe.
I got it. It's get these bitches or die trying. Shout out to you, 50 Cent.
Get these bitches or die trying. Okay, you know.
We can do better.
That's what we got. So we'll have to move along.
That's all we got. Yeah. Sorry. McCann Erickson, you're probably gonna win this.
Unless you have Mike, did you have a tagline?
It just kept coming out of my mind as she can see the future, .. kind of sometimes.
Yeah.
Depending on certain scenarios.
I like it.
She can see the future. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Okay. Hang on. She can see the future of everything except the Sony Spider-Verse.
Ah.
Oh, bring it back.
That could be your blurb at the end. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what about
she
can see some future?
she's seen things.
Yeah, she's seen things.
She's seen things.
That's okay. Okay, we'll put that at the bottom of the poster. There you go. She's seen things.
You know, that matches her Anastasia character from 50 Shades quite well. Budget for this film, $80 million. So far, the box office take worldwide, $92 million. So, you know, you didn't break even, but you know, it could be worse. Could be a worse result. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. They probably haven't made back the marketing budget yet, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Trivia. There's only one bit of trivia because this movie has been widely talked about for the past month, especially with the disdain from the cast and crew about this film and the extensive rewrites. However, I found this little nugget that may or may not be true. Director S.J. Clarkson wanted the film to be a commentary on toxic masculinity and how it's a poison to strong, independent women. Sims is a man who's trying to kill three young women with toxic powers, which clearly represents toxic masculinity, and is further emphasized with the use of the song Toxic by Britney Spears within the film. So, a lot of toxicity going on here. My question is, where's the System of a Down at? Come on, if you're really trying to be toxic, well, like him suiting up, there should be some toxicity going all up in there. My two cents.
I had one other trivia that I liked. Dakota Johnson has done extensive interviews about this film, and very happy for her that she did this.
Right.
She's been just great, just making up stuff as she goes along. Here's what she said about blue screens. She said, I've never done a movie where you are on a blue screen and there's a fake explosions going off and someone's going explosion, explosion, and you act like there's an explosion. That to me is absolutely psychotic. I was like, I don't know if this is going to be good at all. I hope that I did an okay job, but I trusted the director. She worked so hard and she has not taken her eye off this movie since we started.
Is she a truth teller and tea spiller, or is she just being an actor when she does all this stuff? Like everything that she said about this movie just harkens back to that moment where she tells off Ellen on live TV. But it's like, was that a real thing, or was that just for the sake of the clicks?
Much like Madam Web, I think that Dakota Johnson has a superpower, and it's being so. It's going to come out as an insult, but it's not a privileged and being a nepotism kid.
Mm-hmm.
It made it so no matter what she says, she'll be fine. She doesn't have
to worry insulated.
About, she doesn't have to worry about people's opinions on her because
she's an
she's
igloo
going
cooler.
To be fine.
She's very insulated. Yes. Yeah.
She's going to keep getting movies. she can talk as much as she wants about anybody to anybody. So she's a truth to power type, even though she is technically has her own power. You know,
I'm going to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if 20 years down the road, she's like Stacey Dash and just becomes a far right wing.
Well, don't talk. Chris Martin will keep her in the right lane. You know, he's Coldplay. He's so yellow, you know, right in between blue and red.
I thought Chris Martin loved Boris. Did he not love Boris? I don't remember. I'm not British. I can't speak on it.
Do you believe in life after love? That's them, right?
That's Cher.
Okay. Did you have any trivia? Did you have any trivias, Mike? Actually,
I did.
Oh, okay.
And it has nothing to do with this movie.
Okay, love great.
It. The best thing I found is just that it was the first film to use Columbia Pictures' 100-year anniversary for the studio, and it just feels like such a great
kickoff.
You know, oh yeah, Omen. You know, all the execs pumped to celebrate the year and figuring out what's first to come hit the screens. Madame Web.
Let's go full throttle.
Ah, Madame Web again.
Movie plot.
Hey, Jinx, good work.
Rotten Rotten Tomatoes. They switch from the typical genre. Madame Web tells the standalone origin story of one of Marvel Publishing's most enigmatic heroines. Sure. The suspense-driven thriller stars DJ as Cassandra Web, paramedic in Manhattan who develops the power to see the future, and realizes she can use the insight to change it. Forced to confront revelations about her past, forges a relationship with three young women bound for powerful destinies. If they can all survive a deadly present. Ominous.
Yeah, I know that Madame Web's an old character because her name is Cassandra Web. You know, Cassandra.
Shit'll buff out.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't name somebody that nowadays.
No, they wouldn't. Cassandra? Well, I don't know. They could name somebody. I feel like that's a very... Cassandra's a very... Eastern European name? Like I could totally see a lot of women named Cassandra living in the East.
Is it an Amazonian name?
It is Greek, I thought. We don't have the Greek expert because he's probably busy shaving his back or something. But we'll ask him and we'll see him next time for the fresh episode.
I ask if it's Amazonian because here's like basically how the movie... Not begins,
this is how we set up this film.
But this is the
origin. Set the stage.
This is the origin story. Is her mom, who is 8 to 9 months pregnant, goes to the Amazon. As you may or may not know from the viral clip of he was working with my mom while she was looking for spiders in the Amazon, something like that. And then she finds the spider that they're looking for. This guy with not good vibes who's been helping her along the way, he's there to help. Except he takes the spider, kills everybody around her, and then shoots the pregnant woman. While she's dying on the ground, she is picked up by the spider people of the Amazon, who are people with spider powers. And
they're indigenous.
Yeah, indigenous people. They take them back to, you know, the web. What do they call it? The lair? What do spiders have?
Well, it's their nest. Yeah. Nest. I mean, different spiders do different
things. What are webs? Probably wet. Yeah. Yeah.
Some live underground. Some live, you know, behind wood piles.
Okay. These are tree spiders. So take them back to the tree web. And it looked more like a cave, actually, now that we think about it. She dies giving birth to her baby. But to save the baby, they put this certain spider on her chest and gives the baby powers and the baby survives.
Yeah, the spider bites the baby, right?
Spider bites the mom and then the blood goes to the baby. It's like if anybody has seen Dune, it's very similar to something that happens in Dune.
Great.
Or if you know any moms that...
Or what happens to Blade in the movie Blade.
Yes.
We can just say that.
Yeah, that works.
Which leads us into the questions portion of the podcast. How did this orphan child that was left with these spider people work its way back to New York with the name Cassandra of all things? and just grow up a relatively normal life. There's nobody else in the picture. She doesn't mention a single family member at all for like the whole movie. There's just no way that she turned out okay. She went to she grew up in foster care. As there was a was there a flashback or just her telling about it? I'm trying to remember, but
I think she was just telling people about it.
She was just telling people.
Might have been mentioned in like the astral plane scene, but who the hell knows? I was asleep.
She was like, yeah, I grew up in foster care too. It wasn't so bad. And it's just like, how did she get back to New York? She would have been raised as a spider baby.
And she would have been a foster in like some South American country.
Yes. She would be speaking.
She would have got shivved.
Yes.
She would have a face tattoo and everything. That's why she's a paramedic. She's got facial tattoos. Yeah.
That's my first question. What are some questions that we have about from this movie just based on the plot? She's a paramedic, as we all know. She's pretty cool under pressure, but also bored under pressure, according to Dakota Johnson's acting style. But after she saves the child's life, the sibling of that child brings her artwork that says, thanks for saving my sister or whatever. And
oh my gosh, you're right. So rude.
Yeah,
she says, rude.
So rude.
She says, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't want it. Was she actually
supposed to show how much she doesn't care about other people, man? Even though she's a paramedic, she's just doing her job. She doesn't really have a compassion for the
that,
job.
That is a theme they clearly made a point of. You know, later on, she's like, oh, I hate taking care of these other future
teenagers.
Spider ladies.
Yeah.
But again, you've cast her as a paramedic.
Yes. Yeah. Her job is saving people. With
her
of course
job is literal care for health.
With of course Uncle Ben, who I guess we assume is Uncle Ben when we find out his name is Ben. Adam Scott is Ben. What do you think of that? You're happy about it? You like
not,
it?
Not terrible. My bigger question is where's May? You have Mary, which is Peter's mother.
Yes.
Who's the main conflict of like, oh, she's pregnant, she's gonna have a baby, but Ben's there, and Ben has to take care of his sister. Sister-in-law, and his brother-in-law is not there, as well as his wife. So why are those two not in this movie? Like, I get the Richard story, whatever, but why is May not in this movie? I thought she was, but she's not.
Maybe they're not together yet?
No, because it's a sister-in-law. Emma Roberts is his sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Hang on now. He already has a wife.
Yeah. So why is May not in this movie?
Does Uncle Ben have a brother?
Oh, God.
Was O'Neill? Was Mike Epps his brother?
No, the whole story is May and Mary are sisters. And May takes in Peter, and May is married to Ben. Like when Peter's parents die, however, whether they're hitmen or they get killed in the jungle, they get taken in by May and he gets taken in by May and Ben.
How do Peter's parents die?
This is a big problem.
That's the big that. So that's the thing. Here's the nerd talk for you, Nick. Stories vary. So in one version of Spider-Man, they're like secret agents and they steal from Oscorp. And then another story, they're like explorers in the jungle, and that's how they get the Peter Parker power.
I knew that one from Paddington. Same sort of thing in Paddington.
Sort of. Yeah. More radioactive spiders. Yes.
Not talking bear. Yeah,
like John, like Dr. Connors was friends with like Richard, which is Peter's dad, or I don't know. It's convoluted because there's so many storylines. So just know that his parents are dead, and so is Ben.
Okay, good to know.
Speaking of superheroes, why make a superhero origin story where there's no origin and two people who don't have powers, and the one person who has powers are not fully determined because she has prognostication, but she can also lift heavy metal and beat a guy who basically is Spider-Man who can't shoot webs?
All good questions.
is this a superhero movie?
How many did the movie answer? Is this a superhero movie is a great question. Mike, what do you think?
I think the answer is yes, but I would prefer it was not. Yeah. I think, yeah, clearly there are vaguely powered entities in here, but it would have been a better movie if even Ms. Webb here did not have powers, or maybe she has the weird future flashy things.
She can't control it. Yeah, if she
Yes.
couldn't control it, sort of thing. Yeah.
Definitely don't give our villain powers. The movie could almost exist scene for scene if he did not have Spider-Man powers and he was just a strong man who kept threatening other
I
human
mean, he's a
beings.
billionaire. He could have just used his
Right.
billionaire stuff.
Yeah, he, I think maybe the bad dreams are getting to his head, but there's just no way that he can find and kill these girls. Just, to me, it's just the way that they're able to get away is just unbelievable. It doesn't make any sense to me. They just literally run away from a guy who has spider powers.
Yeah. And he can't seem to keep finding them. He has to always use his assistant, who is what's her name in Girls? Shoshana. Shoshana. She
Shoshana.
has to use Shoshana all the time
Yes.
to help find these women.
Shout out to another Nepo,
Yeah.
who
Shout out to
only works
Zosha
when she
Mamet.
needs she only works when she needs to. Zosha, good for her. Like,
Yeah.
that's the way that I would live if I had to do it. You know, she
Yeah.
only was only on one set. She was probably there for like a week, you know, just doing her women at the computer scenes. Boom. Easy
Yeah,
peasy.
it's easy money. Easy
Yeah.
money, and you know she's taking points. So she's got that syndication in her pocket. She that you're right. That's to be a perfect Nepo baby is to be like, okay, I'm gonna be in this, and then I'm gonna go away for like 3 or 4 years. And I'm gonna come back and do a little bit of this and go away for about 3 or 4 years.
So
You just come in waves.
do you think the superhero part of this movie that is in the movie, where they show them all with their powers in a flash forward, is that added later because they're like, oh shit, we forgot to shoot all of them with their powers at
I
some
think it
point,
was as
or write that
expected.
into the movie?
No, I think it was
Yeah.
as expected. That's my guess.
I think that's my only question because there are too many plot related questions.
Right.
Clearly, my only question to throw at you gentlemen is how many scenes are missing from this movie?
There's a lot. There's a lot.
You know,
So,
there's Amazon related junk. There's
right.
a Rocky training montage we're missing where she goes to the Amazon and comes back and starts just really working it with her obscure
Oh,
powers.
maybe that's where she learned how to lift heavy metals with the spider people.
We
Okay.
have no interest in this villain because we know nothing about him.
Right.
And
Yeah, there's
there's
no
one
origin story
other,
for him.
I don't know.
He's just a dude. He's just a dude who shot people.
Yeah, I'm not mad at
Maybe
him.
this might answer your question, some of your questions. So allegedly, you know, take this with a grain of salt because it's coming from Dakota Johnson. The script that
Allegedly.
she that the script that she signed on for is basically a Marvel Terminator movie. And that the bad guy Sims is coming back in time to try to kill Peter Parker because Peter Parker is gonna kill him later in the future. And then the three
Already on
girls
board.
and Madame Web are like the precursors to Peter, and like are like in the shadows raising him to be like the one true Spiderman. You
Does
know what I'm
that
talking
make
about?
Webb both Sarah Connor and what's his name?
So the
Michael
Terminator
Bean?
is Sims. Yes. Michael Bean's character is Cassandra Webb, but except, you know, being Peter's mother. So, yeah.
All right, I'll watch that, I guess. That's fine.
Yeah, that one I would watch. So they ran into some Peter Parker problems,
Yeah.
right? They weren't allowed to say Peter Parker at all.
I don't know
And then
why.
they just flipped it, and that's where they added the flash forward. Something like that must have happened.
Yeah, but they
Something.
can. That's the reason all these movies exist, because Sony is allowed to say Peter Parker as much as they want.
Exactly. It's just like how was that an issue? They were too
I
scared
don't.
to commit to one?
It's a
It's like
fake
just
issue.
say he's a different Peter Parker. Yeah. It's nowadays it's so easy.
Yeah, the multiverse. They already talked about astral projection. They already talked about different characters. Then they mention like Venom or something in this movie too, somehow,
Yeah.
some way. Like
Yeah.
everything is relative. It's there's I don't know. I want to be the lawyer
Yeah,
just
why?
reading that paperwork.
I think that's the answer to the question, why is this movie made in 2003, or why is this movie set in 2003? Has to do with all the Spider-Man Peter Parker stuff that
It's for sure Tom Holland. Like, that's the
they just
story.
yeah they got in over their heads, and then they're like, we're never going to get Tom Holland for this, and this is probably the only one we're doing.
like 2013, he'd be 10 years old, and then he'd be 13, 14, right when Homecoming happens.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be...
it's just going to be a multiverse thing.
This sets up this sets up Madame Web. So this sets up future Dakota Johnson sitting in her Professor X wheelchair with her large,
red leather suit and giant sunglasses.
LASIK surgery,
great jacket,
sunglasses.
By the way. Great jacket.
She looks
great outfit.
She looks really good. Yeah.
Great costume, except those sunglasses, those stupid fucking sunglasses.
Okay.
That make
so you
zero
think
sense.
The sunglasses. Yeah. Okay.
Really dumb. Are you kidding me? They're really dumb.
They're popular right now.
No, they're
guys.
Not. They were popular in 2003. That's why he's wearing those. It's like the Oakley wrap around your skull sunglasses.
Well, maybe her on her wheelchair on the back, it says like, my other car is F450 or something like that.
my other ride is Christian.
the bad guy. I have a couple questions about him for you guys.
Sure.
Sure. Before we
poor Tahar Rahim, by the way, who is, I found out he's not Brazilian, he's French Algerian.
Okay.
So that's why he has a weirdish accent, because he's French.
So it's an act. My question is, did he do a different voice for the movie and then they decided it didn't work and had to ADR all of his lines over again?
Theory is him saying the lines on set were so bad and so like badly recorded that he was forced to do ADR because of his terrible accent, unfortunate accent. That's my theory. I think that makes the most sense because
it's unbelievably bad.
To have a French English accent during a film and barely understanding what they're saying. Still during ADR, it's bad.
His character also dreams of his death every single night.
Yeah.
that is not talked about enough, probably.
Yeah. He needs to be more crazy.
Every night. Like, he would have killed himself by then. There would just be one dream. His next dream he would have would just be him killing himself. And he's like, okay, I see this happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can move on to, actually, no, I have... My last question.
This is the perfect timing. I have a prop for you here.
Oh, great.
This is the Book of Ezekiel.
You got the Book of Ezekiel.
I have actually read.
So that's the story of him being a totem. Like, Peter's a totem, and he's got to fight the other animal people because the animal people are false totems or something.
Yeah, what's wild is the Ezekiel part of this movie is not like that. You know, far-fetched to what I'm aware of. He does find like the magical spider people. He becomes basically a spider dude and has to kill Peter Parker for reasons. It does not work with a Madame Web origin movie, however.
No. I don't understand why he was considered the big bad of this movie. I don't know what Spider-Man villain would have been perfect for this movie. Like
You had that comic before this movie came out?
Yeah. Oh no, I did not go pick it up.
That's wild.
You're like, I need to know more about this guy.
I have to learn more. Yeah.
Yeah, because the only bad guy I can think of who is like relatively low stakes would be like Silvermane or maybe like some version of Smythe, but that's it. Like, it has to be somebody who's looking for the technology or looking for the mythology or lore behind the spider powers. Like, especially if they're alluding to this being like, oh, it's an ancient society in the middle of the jungle and you get your powers, but it's also a community of spider people. Like, that's right up Silvermane's alley. He's all about trying to get those crazy powers according to indigenous peoples. He's just a white man colonialist. That would have been perfect. Toxic masculinity?
Man. There you go.
Resonates.
I don't know anything about Silvermane, but I don't trust him.
Silvermane's the man. One of the best gangster villains of all time. Turns himself into a baby.
Into a baby. Oh, that doesn't sound like a very effective supervillain plan.
He wants to stay young forever. So here, I'm going to spoil it for you. He wants to stay young forever. So he finds this like special power that makes him immortal, but it also makes him like 3 years old. So he's got like the mind of a 65-year-old gangster, but in a 3-year-old's body. Think of the baby
like a Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button meeting the baby from Roger Rabbit.
Wow. Okay. I found it. Why is if he's not the next Spider-Man villain. I don't
he
know
needs to be
doing.
He needs to be in the MCU. That's all I gotta say. He's the man. Silvermane. I am Silvermane.
My last question is about the sexual tension between Dakota Johnson and Adam Scott.
They banged.
They definitely hooked up, right? Is she a secret? Is Aunt May, you know, is she not in the movie because maybe they're in a little
maybe
bit
a trial
having
separation?
Some trouble. She's like, I'm going to leave you with my pregnant sister. I got to just take some time to think.
I'm going with my best friend Stella to the Turks and Caicos. I'm going to go get my groove back.
Mary Parker the whole time is like, where is she? Like, and he's like, she just had to go think some things over. Like, I'll take care of you. Nothing bad will happen. And then a spider guy shows up and tries
she to go return some things
to murder everybody. Emma Roberts as Peter Parker's mom also is just like, what the fuck?
What are you doing in this movie?
Yes.
What are you doing here?
She's almost shocking to see in the movie when it's happening. Not shocking as Mike Epps's death is.
True. Which is a question is Webb an accessory to that death?
If this was a minority
culpable.
If this was Minority Report, right. Then yes.
Yes. She saw his death and then casually said, hey, I don't think you should do that. And then slow-mo walked away.
Yeah. Where was the explosion?
Yeah. Tom Cruise would have been like, you're coming in. You're going away a long time, bad boy.
A long time, big boy.
That's time for the Are You For Reals. What's the most ridiculous parts of this movie? We talked about pretty much all of them, but I think we can settle on what we think is the worst.
I mean, the sunglasses are egregious, but we can let that slide. It's honestly the writing. Like, they had this original story, like I said, and they did extensive rewrites, and they, like... Why make this movie? If they can shelve the Wile E. Coyote movie and the other WB movie that was supposed
Batgirl,
to be... Batgirl. Yeah, if they can shelve those movies and eat $50+ million a piece on those, we'll just shelve this movie. Like, what are they trying to do?
Going away a long time, Batgirl.
Put you away a long time, big boy.
But yeah, the rewrites, you can see it in the movie. You can tell that one part was from one writer and another part was from another, and it's all glued together
with Elmer's glue.
Johnson visions.
It's like, glued with Elmer's house glue.
Just give her a vision. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Give that vision montage. She'll be all right. We'll do astral projection, but not really call it astral projection because it's all different in every one of these superhero stories. Yet it's a cohesive environment where everybody who died lives in that universe. That's not convoluted at all.
Yeah. Sony was like...
That's the current trend of every movie having to explain their rules of time travel.
Multiverse. Yeah, multiverse tracking. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the greatest one ever. It beats the Spider-Man and Doctor Strange multiverses. It's the EIO in a multiverse. The Everything Everywhere All at Once universe.
Yeah, come EIO. On. Oh, McDonald had a multiverse named EEIAO. You can cut that part out, Kyle. Fine.
Yeah, the writing. I'd say the writing. The ADR is the close second.
The ADR,
it's only for one guy.
But he's in a lot of the movie and he talks a lot.
To be fair, there was some ADR for Sydney Sweeney, but I don't know if that's the movie's fault or if that's Sweeney's fault.
Her mouth she has that problem where she kind of mumbles all the time, or it's just like she just talks like really monotone. I don't understand.
She's talking like she's talking through a paper towel tube. That's what it is.
Were you interested in the Spider Girls? Did you want to know? It would have been nice to know what their powers were. You know,
they have some extensive backgrounds, like Sweeney's character and Anya, the Anya Spider-Girl character, have very extensive histories.
Yeah, well, one of them is a Spider-Woman.
Yes, Silk Spider is Julie, I believe, right?
I think so. But yeah, at least two of them are known characters that are more known than Madame Web or Ezekiel, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
At this point.
Okay, that's my question to you guys then. if we had to re-rank the...
Oh, no, Silk's different.
Re-rank the characters in the movie by importance in the book, in the comic books. Like, who is the, out of everybody that we saw, I guess Uncle Ben is probably the most important, but
well, Madame Web is pretty prominent throughout the whole Spider-Man world because she's like, she's,
Professor X.
She's very much a Professor X, in gathering all these people with spider powers. Julia Cornwall is
Julia Carpenter.
No, she is. She is the second Spider-Woman and Arachne later in her life. Whatever the hell that is.
Wait, Anya's name is Anya? As a
Anya.
Supername?
Yeah, Anya. That's, they made it more English by just doing Anya, like Anya Taylor-Joy. Because they wanted that sweet, sweet English.
I don't want that tilde in there. I don't need no tildes coming into my realm.
That was specifically requested from the People's Republic of China. No tildes ever. Maddie Franklin is the first Spider-Woman.
Okay, there you go.
Third character. Niece. Oh, yeah, that's right. Maddie Franklin is the niece of J. Jonah Jameson. I think they mentioned that in the movie.
Triple J.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that in the movie.
Mike, what was the worst thing about this movie for you?
There was a couple. I wrote down a couple notes that I had trouble remembering what on earth they referred to here. And there's a couple great moments. So they're not the worst. I'm just going to jump in and say.
No, go.
One, there's a moment where all of our Spider Women characters walk out of the woods away from an open campfire.
Mm-hmm.
That actually has come to mind like multiple times since seeing this movie.
What park were they in? It's just
like somewhere outside New York and New Jersey. Yeah.
Madame
the Pine Barrens with Polly and Christopher.
Okay, I figured it out. Also, Madame Web goes to her apartment and lets in what I think is her cat, who exclusively lives on a fire escape. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah. I mean, New York's infested with rats.
That cat was a good actor.
That was a good cat.
Good cat.
My favorite thing might be her finding the location of her mother's death via Polaroid in 2003.
Yeah.
And then to answer your actual question, my least favorite thing was very like children's sandbox. How does the movie end? Fireworks factory.
Honestly. Yes.
It was nice to like pretend this was a good movie and say, you know what's great? There's no Skybeam, mega army of drones that Iron Man has to destroy. It'll be real grounded, street level, and fireworks factory.
Yeah. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I can't believe that the big bad was killed by fireworks. Fireworks in a runaway Pepsi sign.
When Pepsi signed on as like the number one sponsor of the movie, where they're like, you're not gonna kill anybody with our sign, right?
$15 million of their budget right there.
They're like, what?
But to killing Ezekiel.
I think that's the reason that they're in the green, though. They have that Pepsi sponsorship.
Man, what an iconic advertisement in New York City. I've seen that Pepsi Cola across the way in Bushwick.
Real good stuff from the movie. We've talked about quite a few of the good things. The 2003 of it all was pretty fun.
Yes.
I don't know if it was good, but it was fun. Toxic having a
flip phones.
Almost too prominent role.
Enjoy the flip phones.
Yes.
And the T9. Yeah,
How did they have the tech? What was the computer technology in 2003? It wasn't very good, right? You couldn't have.
It was better than what you remember.
But Zosia Mammoth wasn't running like facial recognition software, so they could find the Spider Girls, right? That could. Right.
We barely had like consumer laptops.
Yes.
That point.
They had Sony BIOS. Leave them alone.
They should have given her one of those Macs with like the colored back to it, you know.
No, it's a Sony
Macs.
Movie. She had the bio. She had the fancy bio.
You're right. She had the fancy bio. Sony doing some retroactive history
and rocking those Sony Ericsson phones. Come on.
2003 Hot 100. Okay.
They had some bangers and a couple of them that I don't remember.
There's some good ones. I'll just rattle off the top 10. I don't have a game for you guys. Into Club 50 Cent, number one song of the year.
Oh my God.
Ignition R. Kelly, I guess.
The remix, too.
The remix, yes. Too, number two. Get Busy, Shauna Baugh, was number three. Crazy in Love, Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, number four. When I'm Gone, Three Doors Down, made it to number five, so good for them. And then in a shocking move that I didn't know that it hit this high up, Unwell, Matchbox 20, made it to number six on the 2003 Hot 100, congrats. Followed by Right There by Chingy.
That banjo on Unwell is unmatched.
I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell. And then we got Miss You, Aaliyah, Picture, Kid Rock featuring Sheryl Crow, and then Bring Me to Life, Evanescence. Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. Number 11, but I think if we looked back on that now, that might be the number one.
Number one is this song.
And then you're like, am I getting pulled over?
No, slightly problematic nowadays because of Diddy, but you know, we're trying.
I would say the one that made its real resurgence in 2023 is number 21, which is the song PIMP by 50 Cent, but not
Anatomy of a Fall.
Anatomy of a Fall, really steel drummed its way into our hearts. Changed the rest of everybody's life.
White hipster women love that song now.
I just listened to the thing that Justin Trier said that this song was originally for the movie Jolene.
That was the original choice, was Jolene.
It was Jolene, and
that song's too short.
Then they couldn't get the rights to Jolene. So Justin Trier was like, well, I have this song on my playlist, and it was the steel drums PIMP version, and then they were like, absolutely, this would kill somebody, this would drive somebody to murder.
Wow.
Yeah, so
poor Sandra Huller.
Yeah, so just sit out there for you.
We did it.
Any other good stuff? I thought the use of CPR in the movie was really valuable. Teaching
You enjoyed Chekhov's CPR.
Yes,
yeah, Chekhov's CPR. I think we
when
called
she's
that out.
Teaching them CPR, it is just pure cinema. Uncut, pure cinema.
Speaking of uncut, breaking news, the Napoleon rated R cut has been released on Apple TV just now.
Oh, is that true?
I don't know.
Seen the regular cut?
The cinematic cut? No, I have not. Once I heard that there's a 3.5 hour Scott cut, I'm waiting for that. I'm gonna watch it episodically. The CPR was great. The CPR it within the movie for them like to resuscitate people and be a serious moment. I'll do it again. Harken back to the Family Guy bit where the plane's crashing and the guy is forcibly telling the woman the instructions that the flight attendants tell each other while they take off. No, put the mask over your head, over the child's head first, and then help yourself or something like that. Yeah, loved it.
I think the only real good thing I can agree to here is the real Michael Bay ambulance use. Really, that one of her powers is Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
you know, most of it is performed in a taxi. Oh, I have to mention this. So when they steal a gentleman's taxi, the taxi driver is in the foreground with a customer who is graciously tipping him. And like the audio is clear. The camera is focused on this man getting a great cash tip. And then I barely noticed them get in the back of the car. I was invested in this man's fare. They then
classic
steal
bait
his
and
car.
Switch.
And then later, yeah, a paramedic steals another ambulance and uses most of those as the weapon throughout the movie.
Yes,
the petty crime in this movie really, really did wonders for the plot.
Yes, the bad guy signed up and he was like, how do I die? And they're like, well, you can't buy a few cars. You're just going to have it's just going to happen. But then he's like, so that's how I die? And they say, no, actually, you get crushed by a Pepsi sign after a firework.
After a firework,
you
it discombobulates
you. Like a one-inch punch to the chest.
Yeah, Manish Shrimp punched you. Oh, boy. Speaking of which, Let's make it quick here. Who saved the movie? Who ruined it? I think the music supervisor saved this movie by having a fantastic retro soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of setting a movie in a certain year just so you can use that music. And then you choose a year that you feel like you can get a lot of the rights for it for some songs. Yeah, you just go with that way.
Tell you, when I write my period piece, 1997, better watch out.
I would put 2003 up against like a lot of years music wise. It's an incredible top 100.
It's a revolutionary year. I mean, this is the first introduction of Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. So this changes the rap game for 10 years plus, if not for forever. Yeah. By having party rap being like the number one soundtrack to the 2000s.
Yeah, at the same time, you guys, She Hates Me, you know, Puddle of Mud with 2 D's. The Lonely Boy, the Los Lonely Boys anthem.
No kidding.
And Headstrong. So, and Your Body is Wonderland. We could be her all day. Who saved the movie for me? Adam Scott as Uncle Ben. I just love that. I just like picturing him dying in the Tobey Maguire. In the Tobey Maguire movie.
Oh, they should reshoot that. Yeah.
And him getting to say the lines. I just think there's a lot there.
Just left. Ben Wyatt, Peter. Peter.
He would have to make a joke of some sort. I thought Adam Scott really gave it all. He was like the only guy who really.
He was very fine in
the
this
person
movie.
Who came into this movie that was like, you know what? I know my role. I'm just going to do this.
Oh, but be me, but this famous uncle character? Gotcha.
Yes, yes.
Gotcha.
He's like, do I remember going to work? And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm just in severance mode, you know?
Or
working on it.
Or he tells Dakota, like, it's 2003. He's like, yeah, I'm thinking about taking acting classes. Check out these abs, Cassie. You think I get these abs doing paramedic stuff? Sorry, it was a step reference. It's real.
Mike, who saved the movie for who's this movie savior if you could consider that?
If I can. I have to speak my piece. I have no qualms about the music of 2003, but I do with choosing the Cranberries for your credit song for unknown reasons.
Wild.
Wild choice. It really did feel like Lose Yourself would have made more sense, or Shake Your Tail Feather. That would have been great.
Lose Yourself would have been.
That would have been so meta. I would appreciate the meta.
It was number 28 on that year, and I think that you made the right. That's it right there.
That's the number one staying power song of 2003 for sure.
Yeah, personally, I would choose Landslide, but the Chicks version, then known as the Dixie Chicks, which was number 35 on the list.
Wild, absolutely insane. Insane person.
Let's go, girls. I think Pepsi saved the movie. Potentially, for all I know, financially, but I don't know how much money they gave them.
It was the main plot driver to save the characters in the movie. So
I know.
You can't get more literal than that.
I think you're exactly right. Ruin the movie. We've kind of talked about this. Steven, you say the writers.
It's a combination. It's 1A, 1B between the writers and the ADR of Tahar Rahim, Radio Rahim. It made this movie root.
Radio Rahim. Do you have anything else that is in the running, Mike? Potholes.
All I wrote down was the concept of time, I think, because this was a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
But I would double down, maybe not the writers as much as who said, let's get the Morbius writers twice.
It must have been a contract deal.
I don't know.
Maybe it was after the maybe it was after the meme tried to bring Morbius back. They're like, oh, people love Morbius. And then that's when they hired them back. Like, ah, shit, we got fooled again by the internet.
No, you're still holding on. Let go.
Misused.
Misused, double S.
Oh, there you go.
The Spider Women. Horribly, horribly misused throughout this entire film. They were like, if the plot driver was instead they were all newborns and Cassandra had to take care of it, it was basically the same movie.
Same movie, absolutely.
They had
to think of a movie that has puppies that you have to save. Yes.
Yeah, did they do anything at all the whole time?
No, they learn CBR, I guess.
Yeah.
They were spider babies and this was an animated movie like Across the Spider-Verse or Into the Spider-Verse, whatever. Oh my God. This movie would have been awesome. Doing little spider baby powers.
Like Muppet babies, but spiders. Yeah.
Three Jack-Jacks from The Incredibles. That would have been awesome.
Okay. I think you just, that's your make it fresh. I think you nailed it.
Sure it is.
Yeah. As a babysitting movie.
Yes, yeah. Adventures in Babysitting.
What she didn't want to do the whole time, so it makes a lot of sense. I agree with you. I'm going to go with that. Replace a character.
Yeah, definitely get rid of Tahar.
Let's do a new bad guy. Who plays either Tahar or...
You can keep Sims, but I'd recast him.
Yeah.
It's a fine-ish bad guy, but I would like to see... Who's Dario in the in Game of Thrones, and he's in Hill House.
Which Dario? There's
the second one, the not cute one.
The not sexy Dario.
The not sexy one. Well, the one with the beard. Whatever. He's like a big actor now. He's in all of Mike Flanagan stuff. He's the brother in Hill House.
The one with the beard.
The one with the beard.
Michelle Huseman.
Weezman. The Weeze. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The Weeze.
I could see it. I think, and he's probably low enough where you could get him.
Yeah.
I think my personal opinion is just throw even more money away, just right at Javier Bardem's feet. He's doing anything now. He's a working actor. He's trying to make it so he doesn't have to work that much anymore. So just put him in, tell him to do whatever he wants. And then let it roll. Let it roll the camera. Roll the camera.
What time are you off?
He would just see.
How about
they come by? Yeah, he would see her.
Is it your wife?
He would hear her tell the future to him and be like, "Lisana Gaib."
Great, thanks, Nick.
Spoiler alert.
underused character, real quick.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she has a name in the movie. The hacker secretary.
Zosha.
Yeah, it felt like she was under duress, and that clearly, if it was a real movie, they would have her help out spider ladies at the end. But she was just kind of there for unknown reasons.
Miscut. One of those cut scenes that you're talking about. Her
weirdly loyal. Weirdly loyal. Weirdly loyal. Sims.
Like, yes.
She's very Smee-like, and I don't understand it.
I would replace Ezekiel with Morbius as the villain. Just like Sony commits to something and just smushes two things together and see what happens. Yeah, I'm going with it.
That would actually be good. Jared Leto's like uber seriousness against Dakota Johnson's like lack of caring is like the ultimate battle in a lot of ways. Okay, I like it. Make it fresh. I think that's how you make it fresh for you, Mike. I think that's a pretty good idea. Just add Morbius. You know, if you add these two together, you know, that's a 12% plus 15. You're nearly at 30%.
Oh.
So 27%.
Hey, two left, make a right turn.
You have a better way.
Better answer, though.
Okay, great.
I say, please don't make it an origin movie. Do any of your spider, child spider histories... Are you familiar with Madame Web at all? Like, I got all of my Madame Web information from the 90s cartoon.
Same.
90s Fox cartoon. Okay. Make that.
Right.
Just make that.
That's what they've always needed to do that. They've always just need to pull from the 90s cartoons. Why do you think they're doing an X-Men 90s reboot? Like, because that shit was awesome. Yeah. There's all.
Do not give me an origin movie and don't dumb it down. Make it weird and confusing. And cast Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
As the old Madame Web.
Yes.
The question is, why didn't they do that? It was just like did they have the Terminator thing first? And then they came up with then they just retrofitted it to be a Sony Pictures. Like Sony bought this like Terminator-esque story. It was like, how do we make this Spider-Man? And then somebody was like, Madame Web could see the future. And they're like, hey, what do you do? And he's like, I write on Morbius. They're like, you're the guy.
You're hired. I'll do you a better, Mike. Instead of Helen Mirren, the future Madam Web should have been Melanie Griffith, just her mother, and have her be in that movie. So she'd be weird enough to where it would work.
She doesn't. Yeah, work we could anymore, still have right?
one. The origin is just one scene starring Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Everyone wins.
If only everyone wins.
Rotten Cousin.
What movie is like this? I feel like there is a movie that exists where somebody has to take care of like three baby kittens from a bad guy, and yeah, I don't know. Morbius makes the most sense. I'm thinking, like Mike said, like Adventures in Babysitting, something like that, and Reluctant Babysitter, See Spot Run, future contender, maybe. No, I don't know. That's maybe a bit much.
I like this. I like this idea. The only thing I came up with was Steel.
Where oh, the Shaq like, O'Neal. Shaq.
Yes, and I don't remember if there are reasons at the like studio level for why that movie existed. I'm just gonna pretend like, well, we can't technically make a Superman movie, or we don't want to right now, but we'd love to say the word Superman at some point. Right. How about we make this movie? That's the vibe I got from
it's actually, Monday. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Spider adjacent film. Yes, makes sense. Believe it. I mean, that's what Venom was. That's what Morbius was. They're all alluding to the big guy. But they don't have to.
Are they going to put Dakota Johnson in the new Venom?
I really hope not.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to the new Venom. You know, that it's already the leader of drunk movie of the year, and it hasn't even, like, I haven't even seen a trailer yet.
Man, I can't wait to discuss that with you next episode.
I keep forgetting got Old Venom, which is a second Venom.
Old Man Venom. Classic comic book arc.
Real better. What movie is Madam Web better than? I went with Wonder Woman 1984. I would watch this movie over again, then watch that movie for a second time.
Fair point. This movie is definitely better than, oh my God, this movie that I just rewatched, that I didn't rewatch, that I saw initially with, you both will love this, with Nicolas Cage, Willem Dafoe.
Uh-huh.
And it's directed by Paul Schrader. Dog Eat Dog. What a terrible piece of garbage this movie is.
Why do I see several images that look like awards?
Yeah. yeah.
Or film festival credits.
They're film festival credits. So let's see.
Yeah.
Fortnite, it was the closing entry for director's Fortnite section of the 2016 Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
That's really it. So it was showed at Cannes. That's really what the highlight is.
Who's the main dog and who's the dog that eats that dog? Is it Nicolas Cage?
And then this guy.
Is he the dog that eats the other dog?
Paul Schrader is in the movie as a gangster.
Willem Dafoe's name is Mad Dog in this movie?
His name is Mad Dog.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And then this guy. I have no idea who this guy is. And he is so prominent in this film. It begs the question.
Is this going to be on my favorite new channel on my stair stepper at the gym? That's Crime Movies Channel. Is that going to be on there sometime?
Unfortunately, it's on Tubi. It's not on Pluto. So I don't know if there's cross pollination.
Yeah. I don't think there is cross pollination. I think Pluto and Tubi are two planets that we will never visit.
Like the Crips and the Bloods. That movie definitely is worse than Madam Web.
Okay.
And it's 56% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how. It's a bad movie. Very similar, though, because they have to kidnap a baby.
Mike, do you have a movie that Madam Web is better than?
Madam Web is for sure better than Dog Eat Dog. Yeah.
Trash.
Trash.
Great. Yes. Great choice. To be clear, the one that won the best picture.
Oh, yes. We're talking about the...
The David Lynch, is it David Lynch Crash?
No, that's David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg.
Where they have car accidents and then have sex with each other during car accidents.
I'm very interested in that movie, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Yes. So the Paul Greengrass.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul Greengrass, what's his face? The guy from the Scientology.
Yeah, three movies that are worse than Madam Web. There you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Did they say the name of this movie in the movie? The answer is no. I don't recall any Madam Webs.
I think they said something along the web, like web, comma, madame. But I could be wrong. Could be the inner weeaboo in me.
Somebody was like early 2003, like, oh, CassandraWeb.com is taken. Do you have another one? Madam Web? Is it because she runs like a women's house? Yes. Okay, moving on. Rename the movie. I came up with Madam Web and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
I thought there's a double mad thing in there. Do you guys have any new names for Madam Web, the movie?
Like Charlotte's Web, but it's Cassandra's Web.
I would expect like a family drama if I walked into Cassandra's Web. Like an erotic thriller, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Rank them.
Who's hotter?
Who's hotter? Marissa Tomei as Aunt May or Adam Scott as Uncle Ben? I think we just had to have the conversation. Who is the hottest? we can't rank old Aunt May or old Uncle
You're
Ben.
All wrong. It's Rosemary Harris from the original Spider-Man. She's hot to trot.
Who was it? Sally in the
Sally Field was an amazing
Sally
Spider-Man.
Field. Yeah.
Michael Sheen
was Uncle Ben.
Martin Sheen's
great,
the Brit.
Great, yeah. Uncle Ben. Martin
he's
Sheen.
He's sexier than Adam Scott, but on the flip side, Marissa Tomei takes cake.
I mean, it's hard to go against Marissa Tomei, but Adam Scott, he's got some kind of raw, he's an EMT in this movie. Marissa Tomei, she doesn't do shit.
You're really leaning into his character from Big Little Lies. That's what it is.
Tell me
you're
lies,
so
tell
unendearing.
Me
you're
lies.
Endearing. Yeah.
Okay, then I think there's no way around it. Time to get to the games portion of the evening. We're gonna do our top five.
Top five.
We're gonna do the Sony Spider-Man movies.
Top five Sony men. There's not a lot to choose from, but I think we're gonna have a lot of cross pollination. But it's not a problem.
Absolutely.
Well, I gotta clarify here.
Yes, sir.
We got our 8 actual Spider-Man movies.
Right.
And then are we including the 4, whatever these things are called, Venom, Morbius, Madame Web?
I think we should, since this is a Madame Web episode.
It but should there's at least no...
be... I don't think anyone's going to include, but I just want to make sure.
I think that we should at least say that it's going to be an option. There's a chance.
I mean, fine. We'll leave it on the board, but come on, guys. Come on.
The
number
Venom,
five.
Venom 2 is...
Let There Be Carnage.
Let There Be Carnage. Yes. If you leave your IMDb up long enough, it'll just start playing trailers from previous Spider-Mans. So I brought up the Madam Web IMDb, and then it just keeps playing old Spider-Man trailers, and then I just got to see Carnage all over again, and I was like, God damn.
Man,
just letting Woody do whatever. It was pretty solid.
What a missed opportunity. What's your number five, Mike?
Oh, that was all just a trick so that I can say Venom is my number five as a wild card.
All right.
it's the closest thing that is to them saying, fuck it, let's try this.
Yeah. But it worked. It oddly worked.
And then immediately, like the next day after it came out, they say more. And then it just all fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the most unfortunate thing, I think. I mean, I'll go with my number five. Honorable mention, I'll give it to Venom. Why not? If we're going to put that criteria out there, he's going to be my honorable mention. Number five. Amazing Spider-Man, the original. So with Agarf. Agarf. Yeah, he's up there. I saw that movie in France thinking it was going to be a revolutionary, like new Spider-Man, new, like, oh my God, this is going to be a $1 billion movie. That was not the case. But it was still relatively good, different, fresh story. Didn't have Mary Jane. Biggest knock there. I mean, he had Gwen, but
Gwen.
There's more to Gwen than her dying in the second one. So, spoiler alert.
What?
But yeah, so that's my number five. Nick, five.
My number five. I'm doing Homecoming.
Not higher on your list.
Tom Holland. It's good. There's just four better ones, you know?
Interesting.
Solid intro.
I like.
I think, unlike the others, they get a point for not going through the pure origin.
The origin story. Yeah.
That's a fair point, Mike.
That it starts right off the bat. Don't need to know the background. You've seen it a million times. Let's just get him off the...
Good villain with Michael Keaton, you know. It's nice to have a Spider-Man that's like a teenager.
Weakest part of the movie, honestly. I love Michael Keaton, but that's the weakest part of the movie.
I mean, he was menacing in like an adult way, you know, not in like a comic book way.
I needed him to steal the youth from Spider-Man, because that's what the Vulture really does. But I like the twist that the Vulture, he was
two youths, steal two youths from these Spider-Men.
Number four, Mike.
My four is Homecoming.
There you go. I think we're in mutual agreement there. Homecoming's a great movie.
I think my biggest complaint of the Tom Holland movies is too much Iron Man.
Too much Iron Man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Get him out of my Spider-Man movie.
I think that was the whole thing, though. Like,
it was done on purpose, and I'm sure
to bring the arc,
1 million more people to the theater, but it bothered me deeply.
Yep. That's why I'm going Amazing Spider-Man is my number four.
Wow. Number four.
I think Garf is better. He's a better Spider-Man. He just, he's slightly too cool to be Peter Parker, which is my problem. And he's tall, lanky. He's got like that going on. I just find him just endlessly charming in those movies. I remember that movie and I was just like, that was fucking good. I can't wait for the next one. And then I didn't even see the next one until like a year after it came out. So
no, yeah, didn't even see the second one. How about that? He put in just the right amount of sass needed. Tobey Maguire did a little bit too much, but that was more like Raimi's doing than it was Tobey Maguire's doing. And then Tom Holland's way too bubblegummy. Like Garfield's like right in the middle of being like, oh, I'm a nice guy, but I also give you some shit. If you say something stupid,
he's a little too. He's also kind of good looking to be. They're all like kind of like not great looking, but I think Garfield's definitely the best looking out of all of them.
He's relying a lot on the glasses.
Tom
he's very
Holland
glasses
is
ugly.
Like a glasses, a classic glasses ugly. Yes, Tom Holland is, as in your bubblegum words, like actually ripped out of a package of, hey, here's a teenager. Like
right, yeah.
Siri, show me generic teenager from London doing an accent.
From foggy London town.
Also don't, yeah, the all these British Spider-Man, Peter Parkers, the fuck?
Come on. Well, technically, Garfield is American and English, so that he does dual
citizenship. Yeah, that means, yeah, that's why Tom Holland's number five.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Number three, Mike.
Spider-Man 1, Toby number 1.
OG!
Yeah.
Going with the OG. Why is it number three for you?
I refuse to answer the question.
No reasoning. Just right in the middle of the pack. All right.
I think it's a great, first installment of a superhero movie.
Mm.
Great unhinged Defoe action.
Yep.
Real silly. There's some goofy stuff in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Good goofy. Like good, yeah. Like what we all expected a superhero movie to be before they got quote unquote serious.
Yes.
Like, yeah, give me some campiness. It's a comic book. It's oh my gosh. It's Joel Schumacher's definition of a comic book movie. Okay, everybody. It's a comic.
Blow the building up. Number three for you, Steven.
This is gonna be really tough. Because I want it to be the original Spider-Man.
Do the right thing.
It's just slightly higher.
Carnage
list.
Adam Webb.
I thought you were going to do the right thing, a Spider-Man movie.
Yes. Radio Raheem.
we're a big colon podcast.
Man, it's going to have to be. I don't want to keep copying Mike, but it's going to have to be.
Just do it. Just
going to be OG Spider-Man.
Copacetic with Mike. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's what made me really believe that you could make a movie out of the comic books and have it be, quote unquote, you know, I can buy into it. Could never buy into the Steel movie.
Go Web Go.
Go Web Go is great. That scene, the whole scene of the scene where he's run, like the dual bus scenes where he's running until he misses the bus the first scene, and the second time the paper sticks to his hand. The whole high school sequence where he punches out Flash Thompson.
Yep.
Whenever
the and then they have the part where he catches all the stuff on the tray.
Yes.
And then people post it on
great use of like Raimi and of the times, like practical effects. Yeah.
People post it on Twitter once every year and they're like, Tobey Maguire had to catch all of the trays on
did it in one take. No, he didn't. But yeah, that's my number three. Nick, what do you got?
Excellent choice, number three, which is why you just convinced me to put that at number two. Because my number three is No Way Home. I'm going No Way Home, number three.
Wow.
I like when they got all these Spider-Mans back together. It might be the only Spider-Man that I cried in is No Way Home, which is weird to think about.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, the part where he's about to die. Really got to me. Yeah, I thought that was good. Garfield once again brought on the actual tears.
Yeah.
Holland brought the situation. Toby brought the stakes, and then Garfield brought the emotion.
Toby, would you say he went all in for that performance? Mike, what's your number two?
I'm going No Way Home. And I'm just basing it off. You know, I can't remember going to the movies to see the Toby movies.
We didn't talk about Spider-Verses. We're not counting them, apparently.
Oh, I'm going to say no, because I did not plan for that.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either, if we're being honest.
We're all fools, because that's my number two. And one. I wish. We might have to call this all a wash. Because we should have included
we're going live action. Madam Web's not animated, you know.
No, it may have been better if it was.
We'll do live action.
Saves the day.
Yeah. There we go. It's because we all know that Spider-Verse is at least one of them is our number one.
Correct.
No, it's because we're racist. That's why. That's really what it is. We're all racist pieces of shit.
They put Donald Glover in that one movie.
Yeah.
Don Glover, who is in Homecoming.
Original Spider-Verse would have been my one. Part two would have been my four, maybe three.
Interesting.
So,
okay. Well, shit. All right. Well, I'm pretty sure we all have a consensus for number one.
I pretty much
have a consensus with Mike for the entire list, because I'm choosing No Way Home as my number two.
There you go.
Norman's on sabbatical, honey. But our consensus number one, it has to be it, because I can't think of everybody not loving Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 2, critical consensus?
Yeah.
The power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
Wow. Now, it's because that's the perfect blend of Raimi, perfect blend of comic bookiness, practical graphics, digital graphics, love story, anti-love story. Man, it's all good.
Molina,
all right,
Dunst, Maguire, all the peak of their powers.
A subway train.
Joey Diaz.
suits ripping and showing a little nipple. Just what we need. That's
be careful.
Joel Silver would have wanted.
Be careful. He's a hero. Isn't that what they say when they're pulling him?
Okay, good list, everybody.
Great list, everyone. We all did
well
it.
Well done.
Man, Spider-Man 2. It's a quintessential superhero film. I mean, I feel like it's a foundational film.
It's the one that started it all, really.
More so than the first one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the one that showed that it can make like as much money as it made.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already got the reboot, sequel, prequel.
Helen Mirren and or Judi Dench and or Melanie Griffith.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
It's... It has to happen, or I mean, it should have happened, is kind of where we're
Judi Dench needs to be the Madame Web that's like confined in the web, like Max von Sydow in Game of Thrones. Yes. Needs to be the crow's eye.
A corner dweller, you know, just up in those corners, like
the Blood Raven. Spiders. Yeah, the Blood Raven, Madame Web, Judi Dench.
Or like the jumping spiders in my house.
And then she fourths walls a la Cats, just says, "You may be wondering why I'm in this web."
Oh, final man, thoughts. It's been too long since we've talked about Cats, in my opinion.
Has
yeah,
it?
Way too long. Way too long. Sorry, Mike. You're in the.
Still rewatched The Big Green, Steven.
Still haven't. You owe me like 5 showings now.
It's gonna. I have it planned.
Put it on for the baby.
Yeah, it'll be a baby's first movie.
That baby's first words were, "They didn't really score that goal."
You know, I please let that be the young child's first film, because then we have a great baseline for, is it better than The Big Green?
Exactly. Yes.
When that is the only world you knew.
Right.
Yes.
Casper, yeah, Blue Eyes. What do you think?
Not better than The Big Green.
Not better. Yeah. No. Rerate it. I'm going to give it the classic bad movie number, 8%.
Wow. that is bad.
It's not bad. It's not horrible enough to be a full zero, but it is bad enough to where it's single digit.
It was pretty shockingly bad watching it. And then
shockingly bad.
Yeah, it was. It's surprisingly nearly unwatchable. But
what
actually,
are you re-rating it as?
I would watch it again. That's where I'm at.
You're a glutton for punishment.
I'd watch it again. I'm going to recommend other people watch this movie at least one time.
That's your real recommendation? Go watch, yes, Madame Web for yourself.
I'm going to say wait till it gets on streaming. I might even push, once it goes to streaming, I might push for us to re-Madame Web. Us three can do a fresh rewatch. We'll invite Kyle on. Kyle can talk about it. We can get his instant take, you know.
Our first and only live pod will be Madame
Web. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to re-rate it an 11. I'm going to knock it down one, give it double ones.
Double deuce. Mike?
It was a 12 currently. 12. Is that right? Or something like that?
Yeah, oh, say. Correct.
I'll give it an even 10.
Even 10.
I think it, on my 1 to 5 star spectrum, I count a 1-star film as legally a movie where it has a beginning, middle and end.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, I'll just divide that in another half and call it that's
half star
for 10%. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'll give it a 1-star, or in this case, a 10%. Legally, it's a movie.
Okay. So 1 is a 10% in your eyes. Gotcha.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You got a blurb for us, Nick? You got a blurb for us?
Her web connects us all, brother. What's your blurb, Stephen?
That's my blurb. Oh, my eyes! Shout out to you, Madame Web.
When she goes blind, you're like, oh, shit.
When she's wearing those bandages and it's alluding to the fact that that's what she looks like in the comic books, I objectively yelled out, no, please, no.
It was a quality drive-in movie because we were able to talk during it, so it really made it made it quite fun.
Maybe that's the benefit of having these live, real-time reviews.
Yeah.
You got to go to the drive-in and just ham it up.
Mike,
Real
what's
Rex.
Your blurb? Mike,
what's, oh, yeah,
your,
what's
blurb?
Your blurb, Mike?
Oh, I don't want to participate in that.
That's a blurb. That's a blurb right there.
There you go. You said one earlier that would have been the right one. She sees things occasionally, sometimes. Yeah.
Maybe. You already reminded me about the ending, which it's kind of like the real cotton, the real cousin scenario. You could look at a movie like First Class, where it takes to the end to go, oh, they shot Professor X. Got
shot him in the spine.
And you're like, oh, cool. And then it ends. Whereas this movie, she could have woke up in a hospital with a bandage over her eyes and roll credits. Everyone's
roll
like,
credits.
Fine, whatever. I don't need to read into that. But they went one step further and said, no. They have a sweet lair now, and you'll never see these characters again.
14 months later.
Beautiful apartment that she has a view of the city.
As a medic.
Was there some backup family money? Yeah.
No, I think it was just like a lawsuit from
from the fireworks factory. The fireworks factory paid out.
Pepsi company.
She stole all the ambulances. So I don't know if that
is her liability.
Nana knows her. Nana knows her. They're just blaming on Ezekiel.
Pepsi paid. Blame it on
Shoshana.
Pepsi's like, do not let this get out that the guy died under our Pepsi sign in our old abandoned Pepsi factory that we store all these fireworks in now.
Hell yeah. That just, you know, grazes your eyes and apparently blinds you.
No, Terry. Back up, Terry. Back up.
That's where's that sound bit? Someone definitely has that.
Terry.
On YouTube.
Real recommendation.
Oh, no, Terry. real recommendations. Mike, go ahead if you got something.
Sure. I got a weird movie for you. Not a 5-star, not a 1-star, solid 3. Generally pleasant movie that I'd never heard of that came out in 2023, starring Sir Benjamin Kingsley, called Jewels.
I just heard about Jewels.
I think it may have been on Canopy. I'm not sure. It is streamable somewhere. He just plays an old...
Yeah, it's about an alien that comes into like a suburban town.
I've heard of this movie.
An alien shows up. Nothing really happens. It's just kind of pleasant.
This movie was playing at AMC right before I moved.
I never heard of it. I just hit play. And it was fine.
It was one of those movies, and Jane Curtin's in it, and Andy Daly. I'm sorry,
I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it. It's totally fine.
So I wanted to throw that one out there, and then because this is unfortunately a comic book movie podcast, if you're a comic book person, there is a series right now called Local Man by Tony Flex. It's very pleasant, very cool. No, Jules is pleasant. This is fun. It's a like a Hawkeye type hero who was on a super team. But he gets kicked out and has to go back to like Missouri to a small town, and they all think he's an asshole, and he starts solving mysteries. It's cool.
I like that.
Local Man.
Okay.
That could be a show.
I like that.
Nick, what do you got?
I'll recommend the podcast that I heard about Jules on, Screen Drafts. They did their best of 2023. They rank competitively collaborate to rank the top movies of the year, and pretty good episode. And then on the back end of that, I'm going to recommend one scene in a movie that I recently watched. I didn't finish the movie. I already told Steven about the scene, though. In the movie Plus One with Maya Erskine and Jack Quaid, I saw the first 45 minutes and I want to finish it. When she dances across the dance floor, this might come up in our best of the year podcast, which is also coming up. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. I've never seen somebody in a movie take over a dance floor like that. And that's counting Poor Things, which also has one of the most incredible dance sequences of the year.
It really does. Maya Erskine can do no wrong. I finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Nick, and it's fantastic.
Yep. Pretty
She's a fantastic actress. She has her comedic timing down so well. Love it. She's funnier than Dong Lover in the show.
Yeah, what about you?
My real recommendation, book called Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingslever, won the Pulitzer last year and is basically a retelling of David Copperfield, but set in Appalachia. And it's really, really, really good. Resonated with me so well because I know exactly where the setting is. It's a county over from my mom's side of the family. And over there in a different holler. But yeah, really, 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 really good book. I did audiobook, so I kind of cheated, but
is it good?
It's good.
Who reads the audiobook?
Some guy who does accents very well.
Okay, cool.
Nobody I know.
It took me a while to read that one. I had to get it twice in the library.
Whew. Yeah. What a movie. What a book. Can't wait for the movie.
Okay, all well, right. the March Mike-ness will continue on our next episode. We will do best of the year. Coming at you. Thank you for joining us.
A bracket of any kind?
We'll send you all. It'll be the usual thing. It'll be a bunch of top fives that'll take 2.5 hours, but hopefully we can cut it to
We're
going to
do five top fives. We condensed.
Yeah, five top fives.
That's and then a couple randoms we'll throw in there.
Yeah, with the usual one winner categories. So
yeah. Runaways.
We'll be putting that together over the next week, and we will see everybody in a couple weeks. This will come out every other Wednesday, or every second and fourth Wednesday. That's what we're on right now. We're trying. Okay, we're trying. That's the name of this podcast.
Oh, he ain't lying.
Sports Real Rod. Mike, see you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Stop making spider things.
Yeah.
As we always say, stop making spider things. And keep it real.
Keep it real. Stay rotten. We'll see you later.
Some films are ripe, some films are rotten. We like our potatoes au gratin. You watch a film, but you can't even. But here comes Nick and Steve, and they break it down, they turn it out. And when it was over, you wanted to shout, I want my money back. 'Cause that was real rotten. Real fucking rotten.